on the September edition of Our Town, and since it's early September, what no better thing to do than talk about the beginning of the school year. And we have Superintendent Andy Grzkowiak and high school principal Mike Harkle-Rode, or as his students call him, Mr. H. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good, George.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's awesome. Now, like you and I were talking about before we went on the air, this is something that happens every year. It's nothing new, but there's always some new challenges. There's always some new things to get out to the students. What are some of the things happening this year that may be a little bit different or just the same?
Well, again, I think this year starting off, it's again some of our new graduation and advancement requirements that the board has passed. They really kind of go back and mimic what we had in place prior to the state eliminating the essential skill standards. So students are going to have to demonstrate in one way or another, not necessarily just the state test, but again, that they have a fundamental core knowledge of their subject matter.
Yeah. Now, Mr. H can talk about high school. What about the elementary and middle school? What things are going on? Any changes? Any new rules, regulations? Any concerns?
Well, again, I think the one that's got everybody kind of fired up right now is the state cell phone ban. But again, for the elementary, that's not a huge problem because, again, a lot of little kids don't have cell phones.
But some do, though, don't they?
Some do. And again, it's keeping your cell phone off and out of sight, out of mind from bell to bell. The ripple for this is at the high school. We had been bell to bell except for lunch, again, because kids have a legitimate need to, again, sometimes check their phone to see what's going on at home. Maybe they get their work schedule texted to them or whatever. And then now they can't have their phone out during lunch because of the state regulation. So we're going to be working on managing that.
Does that help pass the buck a little bit and take some of the pressure off you as the principal?
Maybe in sorts, but I feel like the changes we implemented last year regarding cell phone use really went a long way to keeping phones out of the use of student hands during instruction time. And I felt like we pretty much had this problem licked. So this is kind of introducing a new headache for us, not having the kids with phones at lunch, because we benefited from that as well. It was one less point where we had to enforce. Now students will have to leave campus to check their phones at lunch, which isn't the biggest deal in the world, but it is a change from what we successfully implemented a year ago.
But you two are both younger than me, but I think all three of us can remember how we managed without cell phones.
Indeed, yes. The biggest thing is going to be when parents need to get in touch with their students, contact the main office, and we'll be happy to get a message to a student. Or kids can come to the office if they have to make a critical phone call. We'll still allow them to unlock their phone from their yonder pouch and make that phone call. They just need to do it in sort of measured circumstances.
And one of the things, of course, that the beginning of the school year brings back is sports. You got a new athletic director this year. Talk a little bit about that and how that's coming about.
Well, we're kicking off with sports already, home sports this afternoon. We've got some traveling teams as well. This afternoon at 4:30, JV volleyball kicks off in the gym, followed at 6 o'clock by varsity volleyball.
This will be airing tomorrow, so you'll have to say we just had our first. Okay, so. So one of the things that it brings to light is, of course, sports, and that's a big time of year for this.
It is. We kicked off on the very first day of school with varsity girls soccer. Boys soccer had an away game, and JV and varsity volleyball both started on the first day of school. So hitting off running. Luckily, those were home games. In previous years, that first day of school has had away games, so kids don't even have a chance to walk their full schedule in the first day of school. So big help having those games at home this year.
However, when football comes, it will be an away game, but they'll already have a few days under their belt.
So. Correct. And football, they might need to leave a little bit early for Marshfield, but that's not much time out of class for that first game of the year.
And then cross country, too. Now, is you still have the same cross country coach?
Even though he's not the athletic director?
He
stepped down. Chris Johnson stepped down from athletic director duties, but he's hanging on for a cross country and track coach as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's struggling with retirement. He'll eventually get there. But again, he's going to continue coaching and help Max with the transition as athletic director. Make sure that again, Max has all the ins and outs of again scheduling and referees and event management, all that stuff that goes into being an athletic director.
Now, as far as staffing and that goes, have you been affected by any of the federal cuts or the state cuts to the budget? And have you had to reduce staff size or change anything around a bit?
We have. Due to reduction in force we initiated last spring, the high school is down net 3 teachers. So that made creating the class schedule very challenging for us this year. I mean, we just had fewer places to put kids in their classes. Less flexibility means some kids don't get their ideal schedules. But it didn't really balloon class sizes up terribly, by and large. But we lost the flexibility in the schedule that having more teachers.
And more of that local change here has been because of a slowly declining population. Like over the last 5 years, we've gone from 1,240 kids district-wide to 1,190. So again, that change of 50 kids is roughly $500,000. And we'd been kind of absorbing that with some carryover with the board. And then we got to a point where we had to cut because otherwise we would be in a deficit situation. Again, looking at upcoming economic forecast, federal changes that happen this summer with legislation will impact the state because as part of House Resolution 1, Oregon's federal taxable income level will change. Right now, the predicted hit to the state economy is about $400 million. And education is the number one driver in the state budget. So I don't know how this is going to play out in the spring of 2026. But right now, we know there's going to be reductions in the state budget. We just don't know how that's going to play out with education yet.
Were you able to keep all the certain kind of classes that, like, shop and all that stuff? Did that pretty much maintain, or did you have to make some changes in that?
Our automotive CTE program did take a hit. We had to cut that program, though we will have it in place for the students who are already in the pipeline to complete that career technical education third course in the string. They'll be able to finish that this year, but we're losing the intro and the intermediate courses that would feed that down the road. As far as our core classes, we have plenty of teachers for the required courses for the high school, so we remain a comprehensive high school.
What's the most exciting news you can think of for this year?
For this year, I'm always excited to see the new freshmen coming in again, and also the group that is graduating this year includes, you know, one of my kids, and that's always a fun year. But they are the biggest graduating class we've had at Tayosa High School in half a generation.
Really?
About 127 students, yep, if they all return, and that's followed by almost a 40-student drop in the class right behind them. So we got a real big class about to make their final year of K-12 education here in Florida.
That is exciting. Yeah, that is. All right. Andy, what about you? Anything on the administrative level that is exciting or is...
Not in particular. Again, looking to make sure that the buses roll. I think our biggest push, again, is going to be kind of outside with the committee group looking at facility advisories. That group is going to be bringing a couple of options to the board to possibly look at remodel of the high school or replacement of the high school and some primary elementary fixes. There's been no decisions made yet. Again, all those decisions get made by the board, but this group has spent 18 months now looking at like really 4 potential options of remodeled high school or new high school with elementary changes, kind of a little bit of a pick one from each column menu, and then we'll let the board do their work probably in February or March.
The most difficult thing is everybody knows we need something done at the school.
Correct.
And
yes.
I'm sure myself, I would love to see a new school, but you know, I only have a few tax dollars that go to that. I'm not, you know, an overall overwhelming majority on that at all.
Well, again, looking at the high school again, it's really kind of outlived its mechanical systems, and that's the bigger problem. Is that it was built again in the time when it was best bid, low bid. And so it was built with systems at the time that were on the verge of obsolescence. And now, 55 years later, just finding parts to fix some of the things. And we've put quite a bit of money into heating, ventilation, electrical upgrades. And we're kind of at the point where we're maintaining a bit of a sinking ship to some degree because to comprehensively change, again, plumbing, heating, electrical, we have to open up the walls to get to all of that. And that's labor intensive. And that's what really costs and would drive up a remodel.
Again, labor and time intensive.
Yes.
Then you got to figure out how you're going to do it with kids.
Yeah, again, then you're hopscotching kids from room to room or building to building as one area is opened up. And so the board will be looking at, you know, what's the most effective strategy for time and money to make the, again, to build a school that's going to last the next 75 or 100 years.
We've had a very thoughtful approach to this process. Like Superintendent said, we've had about 18 months of work that a committee has been doing. And now we're at the point where we're taking that to the public, not as a done deal, but for feedback from the community to see just what the community would support. We've got about 25 small presentations scheduled around town for different civic groups and clubs. And if anybody has a would like to have a meeting with us, we're happy to bring the roadshow to you. And then we're going to have some larger meetings at the high school, which include a tour of the high school so people can actually see what it is we're talking about that needs to be changed.
Well, and certainly when you're ready to do that, you're welcome to come back and do it on our town as well.
And so with the first upcoming board meetings in September and October, we're going to meet at 5:30 at first at the elementary school and then at the high school. And so anybody that wants to take a tour to see where the deficiencies are, they can do that. And then, you know, the board members will break off 6:15 to then come back to start the regular board meeting at 6:30.
Anything else that we want to hit before you go?
Just a shout out to the entire staff at the high school, all the schools, but the high school in particular where I live. Man, these early days are really crazy. And we go from 0 to 60 with a nice summer relaxed pace to kids coming back for the first day and getting schedules fixed and ready. It's a lot of fun, and it's a tremendous excitement about the new school year starting off.
It's almost like a tsunami of kids.
Yep, that's a good way to put it.
They have hit the doors, and they are ready to go and ready to learn and take care of all the stuff that happens during the school year.
Andy G, Mike H, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, George.
In the next hour of Our Town, we'll talk Florence Festival of Books and with Mike Miller of Public Works.